I beg your pardon? My pick is, yes, it's just your, it's nothing special. It's a 0.96. This one happens to be made by the DeAndrea company, and I think it's probably a little more flexible, say, than a Fender 0.96. But it's just a standard guitar pick. One thing I do that is maybe different than guitar is I don't use the point. I use the two rounded sides for mandolin playing. It gives me, you know, two spots to wear out. And it seems, you know, it just seems to help me do the back and forth motion maybe a little better. I know a lot of mandolin players, friends of mine use, totally round picks that are, you know, don't bend at all. And I've tried that. I'm not that tough. But I know many players have great success, you know, with a stiffer pick that's almost totally round. Jimmy Goodrow, for instance, does. Well, it looks pretty stiff, doesn't it? Well, there's basically two different ways I would do it. One is to keep my my hand sort of anchored on the bridge as normal when I'm playing lead. And somewhere along the line, I developed an odd habit of moving my right hand and bracing it on the top, and for some, you know, moving it up. So in that way, it's just really, it's a free handed accepted. My fourth finger is touching the top. And I think the way I kind of developed into that was on the way to the second New Grass Revival job, my right hand was slammed in a car door. And, you know, that wakes you up faster than a cup of coffee. It really does. And in the audience for that next show was Mike Marshall, who was about 12 years old, or 13 at the time, seeing me and going, "That's how you do that?" Because I had to, these three fingers got smashed, and I had to, the only thing I could do was to wear a thumb pick and put it on up here and hold it on with that. Because at that time, there was no such thing as canceling a job. It financially wasn't possible. And so played that way for a few months, and something chipped. And I used to play, before that happened, I always played totally free-handed, all my leads and everything with my hand, you know, as you would see Bill Monroe's, and I copied that. But something chipped off in my first finger somewhere, and I just simply had to, you know, just make a slight adjustment, figure out another way to hold the pick that just didn't hurt. And so, that's when I started bracing my hand, basically, I guess the way Doc Watson does on guitar. I kind of always played guitar. I don't know when I would have really started. I know I had a sister that couldn't tune hers very well, and had to sneak in and play it and then untune it just like she had it. A lot bigger and meaner than I was, so. But as far, you know, I'm like a lot of people. I mean, my favorite guitar players, you know, Charlie Waller, you know, for rhythm guitar players, Charlie Waller, Jimmy Martin. And of course, when, you know, like anyone else, when I discovered Clarence White, Doc Watson obviously was the first, you know, lead guitar player I ever tried to copy. And Clarence White sort of took it in a new world for me. And of course, when I was 18, I had the good fortune to start playing. We played together for a year, Tony Rice and I, in a band called the Bluegrass Alliance. So Dan Crary is also a wonderful player I've always listened to a lot. And you know, they're all different. I admire them all. Dan is sort of like the textbook to me on the way you play a fiddle tune on the guitar. So is Russ Barenberg. So, you know, Russ, I was listening to Russ and Country Cooking and Doc Watson and Dan Crary.
Buy her a drink.
Can you tell us a little bit about?
Well, I will sing that song you'd like to hear, because I don't think we're doing it tonight in the set. But you asked for the song called "Song for Roy." I'll see if I can do that one for you. And I make mention, you'll hear some odd phrases in this song, basically are things that Roy used to say. He had an odd way of saying certain things. And we get to the chorus. Roy actually heard, and he learned this from his father. He actually, and I don't know the method, or I can't really explain it, and he didn't want to talk about it too much, so people wouldn't think he was nuts. But he would, for every note there was a color, for every chord there was a color, and he and his father, they would identify. Like I say, I don't understand it, but I just know it was definitely real, and he could do it. And every note had a color, you know. And all he said, the only thing he ever told me was that E flat is very white. So that's the only thing he ever told me.